Thank you, Pax, for leading us in those songs. It is good to see everyone here this morning and our many visitors, some local and some not so local, from far away, but we appreciate you from wherever you are from. Many of you are flesh and blood family, and so I know it's been a good time to be with those we don't get to see very often throughout the year. I did have one quick correction. Toby had mentioned that Jesse was preaching tonight. Actually, Jesse's a little bit under the weather, and so we were going to have Justin do the lesson this evening. Isn't that right? I think that was what we discussed the other day. So, Justin will be speaking tonight. The lesson this morning, if you would, take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 and 11. Here it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." The Bible says that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day. Are you ready to meet the Lord? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible says here, verse 16 and 17, a little bit of what that day might be like, or will be like, I should say. It says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." That is, those that have faithfully followed the Lord will be with him one day. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, here in verse 7, it says that the Lord, when he returns, will give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in the day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed." And so we see there'll be a great divide on that last day. Those that obeyed the gospel and those that did not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready to meet the Lord? I've done this lesson a number of years ago and I thought I needed to do it again. And hopefully it'll be an encouragement to us once again. You know, we are a people that appreciate countdowns. I mean, we had one to Christmas. I know the kids marking the day on the calendar, right? Until how many days until Christmas, until finally it's here. Julie was mentioning to me the other day, it's a 3-week countdown until baby month number 5 arrives on the scene. Just in a few weeks, and we'll have another addition, Lord willing, to our family. New Year's Eve is coming. I don't know about you, but my tradition usually is to stay up and to watch the clock as it goes down minute by minute until finally it's second by second. There's some kind of power to a countdown, some kind of finality that is coming that you and I cannot stop. And we embrace that moment and we think about it as we see it drawing near. It is the signaling of the end of something old and the beginning of something new. And when we finally cross over, that countdown has come to a conclusion. Did you know there in heaven is a countdown that is going on? We don't know the day nor the hour, but we know that with every minute that is passing, we are 1 minute closer to that time period. I'd like for you to do something with me this morning. I don't ask you to do very often, that is to look at your clock. I usually wouldn't tell you to do that. But today I'm going to. And I'd like to say at 11:10, would you pretend with me that the Lord is going to return? It's in exactly 30 minutes from now. And you got to get into this. You got to be fully convinced about this. I understand the Bible says we don't know the day or hour. But for this one lesson, let's say we do. Let's say that we understand. We have been given word. He is coming in 30 minutes. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Now, when I get ready for a trip, often create a checklist. My wife does that. Hers is more detailed than mine. Probably includes the family members on there as well. You know, you're making preparation to go. You want to make sure you don't forget anything or neglect anything on that very important trip that you are to go on. You know, spiritually, the Bible is like that for us. Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48 that my word will judge you on that last day. The book of Revelation says on that day when the dead are raised that there the books will be opened and will be judged by the things written in those books. So how are you doing on your spiritual checklist? The true bucket list. Are you ready to go? Are you ready for judgment day? You've got 29 minutes to make ready. Begin with me in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to see that there are multitudes of times in the New Testament where lists are given. And it's given for a reason, because there's certain things on that list that God wants to make sure that we're avoiding or practicing in our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Do you see any of those things in that list that you're practicing? If so, the Bible has declared you don't go to heaven when life is over. You do not inherit the kingdom of God. Fornicators, those that are giving themselves to their sexual relations outside of marriage. Idolaters, those that serve other things before God. Adulterers, those that have relations with someone else that is not their spouse. Homosexuals, men and men or women and women given in relations. Thieves, do you steal? Covetous, drunkards. These will not go to heaven. Continuing our list in regards to morals, look in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 5 and verse 6. It says here, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth." And here's another list. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. And so here again, these things, if we're found practicing, we can only expect the wrath of God. God has promised that. And God cannot lie. In Galatians chapter 5, another list. Hurry now. Galatians chapter 5, there verse 19. "The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Are you practicing such things? You've got 25 minutes to get that right with the Lord. Are you ready to go? And the list even says things like these things, if you're practicing them, that you don't go. Gambling is not necessarily on that list, but is it not like covetousness? Surely it is. Abortion is not on this list, but is it not murder? It is. Have you been guilty of committing an abortion? What about drinking? So, well, I'm not doing drunkenness, but it's like that, isn't it? You know, there's some things I've found interesting that you'll see restaurants close their doors all the time. They don't make it. I've never seen a liquor store close their doors. Maybe you have. I've never seen one. Men always find a way to support their vices. I've seen grocery stores close, but not liquor stores. Have you been guilty of participating in that? What about drugs? Those things that harm your body. Not drugs that restore health, used as medicine. But there's a word here that also includes that. Pharmakia. Things like that. Things that destroy your body and break it down. Have you been guilty of using drugs? Tobacco. Heroin. Marijuana. These things that just destroy yourselves. The Bible says very clearly, those that practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Are you ready to go and meet the Lord? In Ephesians chapter 4, there we see another list given by the Apostle Paul. Actually, let's go to chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says verse 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let none of you be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." Any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Been guilty of anything in this list? What about verse 4? Foolish talking. Thought about that? Talking that's just befitting the fools. God says, "I'm going to hold you an account of that." Coarse jesting, which is not fitting. Certain jokes told that are lewd, crass, that are filled with sexual innuendo. God says, that's not fit out of the mouth of a saint. You see, what we say is very important to God. Over in Matthew chapter 12, there the Bible says in verses 35 and following, it says, "A good man out of a good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." You better believe it. That's what the Word of God says, and so it shall be the case. It shall happen. Are you ready to go? The words that you speak, the things that you say, the jokes that you tell, would they fall in this category of idleness? Things that are befitting of evil and not good. Swear words, cuss words, euphemisms, using God's name in vain. Have you done those things and never asked forgiveness for those things? You better hurry. We're running out of time. I've got 21 minutes on my clock. How about you? What does the Bible say over in Matthew chapter 5? We'll spend a little more time dealing with things of a moral nature. In Matthew chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 27, "You've heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery,' but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Have you done that? Say, "I've not been guilty of the act of adultery, but have you looked and lusted with your eye? Maybe seen a movie or a commercial, or been at the magazine stand for too long and you began to stare and then began to think about what you're seeing. Internalize it and commit adultery in the heart." You see, the Bible tells us pure is not just what we do, but it's who we are. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Matthew 5 and verse 8. Have I been pure in the very innermost being of myself, my heart? In Titus 2, there, verse 1, Paul says, "To the pure all things are pure, but to the undefiled nothing is pure." They can almost turn anything into something vile. Is that the way your eyes are? Is that the way your mind works? In 20 minutes, you're going to meet the Lord and discuss those things that you've said and those things that you've thought and those things that you've done. And so will I. Are we ready to meet the Lord? What about speaking of our homes? Our homes. In Ephesians chapter 5, we see the Lord also takes our homes very seriously as well. In Ephesians 5, husbands, how have you been with your wives? Verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her. There, verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies, and he who loves his wife loves himself. Husbands, how have you been treating your wives? 19 minutes, you'll give an account for how you have. Have you been unkind? Must you always have your way? Do you rule with an iron fist? Or do you treat her like fine china? Something worthy of honor and protection. The weaker vessel, as Peter calls the wife. Maybe you need to take your wife to the back. Have a little talk with her, because you're going to have a little talk with Jesus in about 18 minutes about it. Are you ready to go? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, wives, how have you been? Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, is also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Wives, have you been in subjection to your husbands in all things? Or just the things that you agree with? Have you been unruly, out of step, argumentative, disrespectful? Because in 18 minutes you will answer for that. Children, those of an accountable age, have you been in regards to your respect of your parents? Chapter 6, verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Children, have you been disrespectful to your parents? The Lord takes that very seriously. In Romans chapter 1, there you see how seriously He takes it. You may not have thought about that as being a condemnable practice, to be unruly and disobedient to your parents, but God does. In Romans chapter 1, there it says in verse 32, back up to verse 30. But these individuals that are backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, and notice, disobedient to parents. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. God said it was something worthy of the eternal death penalty. It's in the categories of those that hate God and those that invent evil things. Those that just disregard whatever it is that their parents say. Parents, how have we been towards our children? Ephesians 6:4 there says the fathers to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and not provoke them to wrath. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 15, speaking about the mother's role, that she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness. These kinds of things are important. And if we think, well, it's just been up to them, that's their decision, we better think again. We can read in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3 where Eli was held accountable for his children that he did not restrain. Parents, have we restrained our children at the times that it was necessary? The Lord knows. The countdown continues. What about in regards to our worship? In Ephesians chapter 4, there in verse 4, we read that there's just one body. And that body was in the mind of God from the beginning of time. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 through 27. Look there in Ephesians chapter 2 with me. And notice what he says in verses 19 through 22. He says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." That's how important it is to God. A dwelling place for God in the Spirit, and that we're fitted together to be unified in our work and worship together. It's important to God. So important that Jesus said in John 4 and verse 24 that God is Spirit and those that worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. He said in verse 23 that God had been seeking such to worship Him. Think about that. Since the beginning of time, thousands of years, Jesus had made that truth. He said God had been seeking such to worship Him. Do you worship Him in spirit and truth? Is that a priority in your life? For sometimes, there's individuals, I wonder if that's the case. They don't think that they have any responsibility to the church that they're a member of. Hebrews 10 verse 25 says something different. Verse 24 says that we're to be stirring each other up to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Now think about it. The Lord has been seeking for such to worship Him for thousands of years, and yet you have individuals that would be simply categorized as Sunday morning only Christians. How can that be? How can that be if the Lord's been seeking for such to worship Him since the beginning of time? True worshipers. If that's been you, dear friend, you've got 13 minutes to make that right. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Have there been times that you just didn't come because you just didn't want to come? Maybe you missed because you were bored and you're tired of going. Or there was some kind of sporting event that seemed to be more interesting to you that particular day. Maybe you were offered rides and you said, "Nah, I'll turn that down too." So you are without excuse. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible says here in verse 1, Now brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is what we're talking about, right? Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him. That word "gathering together" is the exact same word in the Greek found in Hebrews 10:25. So we would like to be gathered together with Him on that last day, and yet the great dilemma of it all is that individuals don't want to be gathered together with Him on the Lord's day. Something's not right about that. Are you ready to meet the Lord? In 11 minutes, He's coming. Well, the Bible also tells us to worship in spirit and in truth. Have we been guilty of worshiping God not with the heart, not in spirit? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there you see how important it is in regards to the partaking of the Lord's Supper. Going through the motions of it is not going to satisfy the Lord. The Lord's Supper is a covenant. And whenever one studies the concept of covenants, they see that there is commitment that is involved. When one becomes a Christian, they've made a commitment to give their life unto the Lord. But also, there's one putting themselves under a curse if they violate the commitment. And then in a covenant, there was also the sharing, the partaking of the sacrifice. And we see here in the New Testament, Jesus said this is the blood of the new covenant shed for us. And so in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 27, it says, "Therefore whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And so when we partake, if your thoughts are somewhere else, if you're scattered, the Lord says you can actually eat and drink judgment to yourself. That's what the Bible says. That's what the checklist says. 10 minutes. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Have you been guilty of not worshiping in spirit? What about in 2 Corinthians chapter 9? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Another element that is set apart and special on the Lord's Day is also the giving of our means. The Lord's Supper and the giving of our means are only to be done on the Lord's Day. And there it says in verse 6, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." We learn that God loves a cheerful giver. We learn that God wants us to give bountifully. If we sow sparingly, then we'll reap sparingly. But we also learn that one needs to give as he purposes in his heart. Not just whatever's left over in your wallet at the end of the week, or, you know, scrounge around in your pocket. It's got to be set aside in your heart, that particular amount. How have you give? Do you give? Is it something that's important to you at all? Is it the bottom of the checklist or the top? What is it? You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 tells us that as stewards, it is upon us to be faithful in what we've been blessed with. What does our stewardship say of our financial affair? Do we blow it on all the frivolous things and then come the Lord's Day, we have nothing left for Him? Or do we just consider Him like He's a waiter and we're just leaving Him a tip? People don't think they'll be judged by how they give, and yet we say that took place in the Old Testament in Malachi 3 and verse 8. Does anyone need a do-over with the giving again? 8 minutes. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Let's talk about some other miscellaneous things that might be found on the list. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Quickly now, we're running out of time. Verse 1, it says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." There's that on the list again. "Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." There's a whole list of things there. Am I one that's unforgiving? Am I one that if someone does me wrong, that's it? Am I unloving? Do I slander? Do I say things that are falsehoods about others just to create some drama? Am I without self-control? Are there things that I, if I look at my life and I say, you know what, if I was asked to part from that, I don't know if I could do that because there's such a strong tie to that. The Apostle Paul said that he buffeted his body. That is, he brought into subjection, lest when he preached to others, he might become disqualified. And listen, if lack of self-control could disqualify someone like the Apostle Paul, how much us? Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. This country is given to its fun and entertainment, and it has its proper place. But people don't give it a place. It overtakes all of their lives. They work for fun. They work so they can be able to have the money for fun, and that's what they... Some will even say that. Some love their vacation so much they actually take a vacation from the Lord when they go on vacation. Go anywhere in the world they want. Don't even think about if there's a sound church there. Don't even think about, you know, bringing their Bible along. Materialism, crushing lives and souls, it's become their God. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Have you done that? Because in 5 minutes, He's going to ask you about that. He's going to know, have you done that? What about evangelism? Have you taken time to talk to your friend and neighbor about the truth? Have you, or will they on that last day say, you never mentioned him to me? Like that song, right? You knew me day by day. You knew I was astray, but you never mentioned him to me. And Jesus gave us the commission to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. Do we take that seriously? Or as Brother Tall challenged many of us this morning, do we take hospitality seriously? That's one thing that Brother Toby prays about often, you know, that we be hospitable one to another. Do we? Romans 12:13 says that Christians to be given to hospitality. Is that something that we care about? You ever take revenge on somebody? Oh, no, that's not me. You ever heard of road rage? Oh, they cut me off. What were you thinking? What were you doing? In James chapter 2, verse 9, it talks about partiality. In James chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But you who show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors." So let me ask you, what's been your attitude about black people? About poor people? Might be the reverse. What's been your attitude about rich people? Is there some people's houses you'd never go to just because of where they live? That kind of a thing? God knows. We got to hurry. We're running out of time. He's coming. We've got 3 minutes. Is there some phone call you need to make? Is there someone you need to pull aside and ask forgiveness from? You've got 3 minutes. You're running out of time. In Galatians chapter 6, what about this particular thing on the list? The Lord takes this very serious as well, and we ought to. When souls are astray, do we go for them? Do we try to encourage them? Galatians 6, 1 says, "Brethren, if a man has overtaken any trespass, you are a spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Oh no, when someone falls away, that's the men's job or that's the preacher's job. You know, no, that's if someone's overtaken and fall, you are a spiritual. That ought to be every Christian's job. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Do we take that work seriously? The Lord does. We must. In Jude 16 through 18, there it talks about those that are grumblers and complainers. Do we do that? Ever complain to how long maybe a lesson is? Grumble that, I'm not sure if that guy's a terrible song leader. Oh, here we go. Grumbling and complaining about just silly things. Maybe about how long that guy's not mowed the lawn in a while. Like, things that are just... We lose our heads in the moment. We've got 2 minutes left. Are you ready to meet the Lord? It may be that you are in need of forgiveness of your sins. What must you do to be forgiven? Well, in John chapter 8 and verse 32, very quickly now, we must hurry. John 8, 32, what does the Word of God say? The Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. We want to be made free. Well, there in verse 24, Jesus said, "Therefore I said to you that you'll die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? You might say, "Well, I'm not sure about that." Well, in about 2 more minutes, you will be. Do you believe? But that's not all that one must do to be saved from their sins. In Luke chapter 13, the Bible there says in verse 3, Jesus Himself said, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish." Have you repented of your sins? That is not just merely feel sorry about them or sorry for them, but you're going to turn away from them. The Lord knows if that's going to be your heart or not. Have you confessed your faith? Matthew 10, verse 32 to 33, Jesus said, "He who confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven." Have you done that? So that's part of declaring your allegiance to the Lord. making your commitment to Him, but then also being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus said, Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Acts 2:38 says it's baptism for the remission of one's sins. 1 Peter 3:21 says baptism now saves us. That means you can't be saved without it. Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? You've got 1 minute. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Now quickly, turn with me to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Hurry now, hurry. Matthew 24. The Bible says this in verse 46. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. What's that? That's saying remain faithful unto death. Those of us that have obeyed the gospel, have we done that? He says when he comes, we'll find so doing. Doing what? Doing what he asked him to do. The list, the things we've been talking about. Blessed is that servant when he comes, finds him doing those things. Have you and I been doing those things? We're down to 30 seconds. You want to know the real scary thing about this lesson? I say 30 seconds, but it may be 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Verse 44 says, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming. He is coming. And then he says, at an hour you do not expect. We just don't know the time. And there's just as much probability that he comes in the next 10 minutes, right? Or he comes in the next 10 seconds. I don't know. The question is, are you ready? He says, therefore be ready, for the Son of Man is coming. And so maybe you're here and you're not ready. I want to encourage you to do whatever it takes to make that right, to be ready. Is there someone you need to talk to or call? Then you better do that now. If you've got correction in your life, do that now. If you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, then do that now. Do it now while together we stand and while we sing.
When Jesus comes to reward His servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to Him will watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright. Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright hope? Say, will he find you and me still watching?